Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
TVI Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode of TVI Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode of TVI Say with Ashley Ray.
Welcome to TVI Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. Usually, right? Usually every week we come together, we talk to someone, an actor maybe writers, and we have them talk about the shows they love, the shows they're working on, the shows they have coming out. And guess what, everyone? This is our first episode we've recorded post-SAG strike. Our last episode, we got to talk about the Emmys, talk about so many wonderful things, because we recorded it the day before SAG decided to strike. And now we're on the other side. We are, I think 2 weeks into it by the time you'll be hearing this for the SAG strike. And then we still have WGA on strike. So it is a hot dual strike summer. And I am sure a lot of you are wondering, Ashley, you have a podcast about television. What are you going to do if your guests can't talk about television? You see, there are a lot of rules when it comes to the SAG strike. The WGA strike, of course, had a lot of rules, too. With SAG, it is a little more blurry. So actors are not allowed to promote projects they have worked on in the past or in the present. So as much as, you know, we typically get a lot of guests who come on and want to talk about their current things, and we love to talk about the shows that inspire them, but they aren't allowed to do that. There is a little bit of a gray area around whether or not our actors can talk about TV shows they enjoy from the past that are no longer airing. But basically, SAG does not want anyone to promote or discuss shows on social media, on their podcasts, anything that could basically be seen as promotion. And that is not just for actors, but also for fans and for influencers and anyone who thinks, you know, maybe someday I might end up in SAG. So that also goes for people like me, where I fall in that category of, you know, I act, I do stand up, and I also cannot promote a lot of the shows that I, you know, have worked on, that things that I've done. So to that extent, it does get a little confusing. And I think this is why we saw so many influencers online who were asking so many questions. I do want to give a shout out to Francesca Ramsey, who has been giving us so much information and guidance on this on TikTok and Twitter, and has been just the best at helping me understand what I can talk about, what I can't talk about. And, you know, obviously all of us here support SAG, so we want to follow these rules, but it is a little tricky. So there were people who, you know, said, hey, I am not really an influencer, but I am a TV critic, and I also, say, have my own newsletter where I talk about shows that I want people to watch. What falls in line there? And it's something like, you know, if you're a journalist doing criticism, of course you're still allowed to do your job, because criticism and TV media, those types of pieces that, like, really get into the discourse aren't promotional, right? Otherwise, there wouldn't be TV or movie reviews. So, you know, there isn't an inherent promotional aspect to that. So you as a journalist can write that. But say you're an influencer on TikTok and you're a big fan of a new show that just had a new season premiere, and you like to do recaps, or you like to, you know, just tell people to watch every week, as I do with many things, that would be promotional. And so that's where you aren't really doing the job of a journalist, because you're a fan, obviously. So that's a good way to kind of figure it out for yourself. If you're like, hey, can I post this? Is this okay? You know, is it something that a fan would say, or is it coming from a critical journalistic standpoint? You know, so obviously not every show that I talk about on this podcast is focused on getting you to watch it. We do obviously criticize a lot of shows here. but, you know, at the end of the day, this is a podcast that celebrates all television. So even when we talk about a show and maybe an issue or something we have with it, at the end of the day, the point of this show is to get you to love and appreciate television in all of its forms, and in the difficulties it takes to make that television, from behind the scenes, from directors, from writers to actors. So could I find some gray area loopholes to get your favorite actors on here and to get them to talk around the shows they were in, to talk about shows they like? Yeah, if you want to find a loophole in this strike, you can find a loophole. But that's not what we're doing here, okay? Because we support SAG, we support WGA, and we know we're going to win, okay? We're going to win this thing. I mean, come on. We got the actors on our side now. There's no way they're going to let hot, attractive actors, like, strike in the sun for as long as they're letting us writers do it. That's just impossible. It's not happening. So we're going to just keep supporting SAG. We will be having a shift, you know, in the type of guests you see us having and the conversations we have. We will still be celebrating television that we can talk about. On the other side of things, SAG did put out a wonderful guideline of things you can still do and can still talk about. So TV shows that are international or not covered by the AMPTP, those can still be talked about. Reality television, we can still talk about it, baby. And you know I love to talk about reality TV with all my favorite actors and comedians. So really, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be worried on this side of things, because we have plenty of TV we can still celebrate, plenty of things we can still talk about. We can still talk about podcasts, other projects they're working on. We are also still able to talk about shows that are covered by the Animation Guild. So, you know, you can figure this out. I know there are a lot of influencers, a lot of people online who feel like the SAG guidelines are a little too strict and make it difficult for people who want to just enjoy and support TV to do that. But hey, you know what? That's the point of a strike. It is to be disruptive. That's the whole point, right? It has to disrupt things. It has to be noticeable. And we want Hollywood to notice that without the fans who support these actors, without the influencers who are moved by these pieces, or who, you know, are driven to write detailed breakdowns of acting scenes, you know, just in their free time, half the time not even getting paid to make TikToks about it. Removing that from the system shows Hollywood the sort of impact that SAG has. So I am happy to help to do my part, and I hope you are too. So, you know, this episode, we have Punky Johnson joining us. And, well, hey, you know Punky from, well, a lot of shows that we can't mention. I don't even need to. You know how the internet works also. Like, you know these people. But today we have Punky, and Punky's going to talk about her new podcast. You see how we do when we can't do, we pivot. Okay, now you get the benefit of getting to see Punky Johnson on tour this summer, working on her new hour. And she has an amazing, hilarious podcast coming out that we're going to talk about. So, you know, yeah, you're not going to feel like anything has changed around here. We're still going to be laughing. We're going to be having a good time, and we're going to be talking about all the shows you love. Maybe just more of them are going to be shows you watch on TLC or Bravo. Which, honestly, is that any different? Probably not. I will give you a brief watch list this week. You know, like I said, on our watch list going forward through the strike, I am going to be highlighting shows that are not Struck Productions, going to be focusing a lot on reality TV and international shows, documentaries that I think are really, really amazing. So number one on that list, ooh, guys, this is the hit of the summer for me. My Strange Addiction, Still Addicted. It debuted last Wednesday. My Strange Addiction, yes, it is back 10 years later. And they have new addictions. They are checking in on old addictions. It is the best thing in the world. So our debut episode focuses on a woman who eats toilet paper. And she doesn't just like eat toilet paper. She marinates the toilet paper, according to her. She takes the toilet paper in strips and she like puts it between dryer sheets, and then she'll put some laundry detergent for flavoring, and she lets it sit like that for a few days, and then she eats the toilet paper so that it tastes like detergent. And she goes to the doctor because that's a big part of the show. They're like, okay, you have this, you know, obsession. Let's see if it's healthy for you. And the doctor is like, girl, no. She's just like, no, you got to stop doing this. And the girl is just like, so you're saying that like I can't have children, that I might die if I don't stop eating toilet paper. And the doctor's just like, yeah. And she's like, well, I'm not going to stop. So she doesn't come through to the other side of her addiction, sadly. But we do check in with an old addiction, and that is a guy who you may remember as being married to his car Chase, which good name for a car, frankly, if you're going to fall in love with a car, why not? Why not name it Chase? But it is about a man who falls in love with his car, and we find out in this 10-year update that that car was involved in an accident and was totaled, and he no longer has it. But do not worry, because he did make a bed out of some of the car parts. And then he created a like blanket that is a photo collage of him and Chase, the car. And he's like, these are just some cute pictures of us together, you know, and it's like literally pictures of him like just sitting in front of this car. And then he's like, these are pictures of him taking a bath, and it's the car being washed, and it's just like on this blanket. I cannot wait for more episodes of this show. I know they're bringing back the couple who drinks their own pee. Like, they're bringing back, oh, this was in the episode. There was a woman who was obsessed with eating cat hair who we met 10 years ago. And don't worry, in the 10 years since, she's just eating more cat hair. She just is eating more of it. If you look at your own life and you feel a little stagnant and like things haven't changed for you, just keep in mind, you're probably doing better than the woman who's like, oh, I'm having a wonderful decade. I went from eating the hair of one cat to seven. After that on the list, guess what is back, baby? Below Deck Down Under. Yes, our hottest Below Deck captain is back. Thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. This was the best season of Below Deck Sailing, and yes, we will talk about that reunion. We will talk about it. But Below Deck Down Under is back, and from the very first episode of this season, we're pretty much getting right into the drama. We have, like, the worst guest on the boat who, you know, we all know the number one rule of Below Deck Sailing Yacht. You don't, or any below deck, we all know the main rule. You don't swim at night. You cannot get in the water at night without like the crew there. It's a whole thing. And of course, the first guests that they get on Below Deck Down Under are just like, we are jumping in the water. We don't care. We're drunk. We want to fight. And it is just instant drama, because obviously this like hot Australian captain, he does not play that. He is just like, we'll end the trip right now, mate. I'll go right back into the binny. I'm going to just make that up as a thing Australians call a dock. He's like, I'll end the chat right now. And it's amazing. Like, I felt like it took Sailing Yacht so much time to get going. By the time we were like, what is up with Gary and Colin and Daisy? It was the end of the season. And I feel like with Below Down Under, we're getting right into the drama. After that, we have Last Call. Last Call, it's a documentary series that's been airing on HBO. We're two episodes in. It's a four-part series. And it is about a serial killer who stalked New York, killing homosexual men. It's basically, it's set, I believe, in like the early 90s. One of the murders is in 93, yeah. And he does these murders over the course of like several years. And it basically shows you how the cops were so incompetent and just homophobic and did nothing to really help these people or to solve the crime, because they truly just did not believe these victims mattered. I think the saddest part is how even these families still suffer from the homophobia. You see, like, some cousins of the people who are deceased being like, well, no, he was never gay. He wasn't gay. Even though there's so much evidence that he was. But still, as a family, they cannot be open and accept the truth of their relative and how they lived. So it's an incredibly well-done documentary. It is based on a book that also went into the serial killer and the subject. So that gives them just some really, really great, just like firsthand accounts from family, relatives from this, you know, book that put together all these resources. It is probably my favorite documentary of the summer so far. I've just been blown away by the emotional depth. And I think when we look at true crime today, which I think is justifiably getting a lot of slack, you know, I think obviously the true crime genre has a lot of issues. How we navigate true crime has issues. So often it is used to be propaganda to celebrate the police. This isn't doing that. So often true crime is used to celebrate serial killers or these horrible people. And Last Call is also not focused on doing that. It is truly focused on the victims and their stories. And I think that is true crime at its best, when it is giving a voice to victims who are voiceless and were voiceless in their death. And so, hey, I think it's a great documentary. I know you probably don't want to watch any more true crime stuff. There's so much true crime. But I would say this is very different. And it's probably, I think, the standard of like what true crime should be moving forward. So, hey, there you go. After that, we have Dark Side of the 2000s, because Vice is just basically trying to make me feel old. We had Dark Side of the 90s. Fair enough. Now we have Dark Side of the 2000s. Okay, buddy, like, I don't know about this. I was 10. What are we talking about? Like, you guys don't remember this stuff? It just happened, actually. But it actually, the first episode was pretty enlightening. I did enjoy it. So Dark Side of the 2000s, as it does sound like I love the 80s, I love the 90s. But each episode focuses on one topic versus sort of the overall year of a decade. So the first episode was about John and Kate plus 8, John and Kate Gosselin. Which is a show I never really watched. I never cared about that. I truly just have never understood the interest in families that have a lot of kids. I just never saw why that was interesting to people as a TV subject. Maybe it's because I grew up in a house with a lot of kids, but never pulled me in. So I wasn't aware of the level of drama involved with John and Kate plus 8 and Kate Gosselin and her children and the father getting custody and Kate Gosselin being abusive and basically sending one of her sons to like a mental institution. So, hey, definitely dark. Definitely got into some dark sides in that episode. And I am excited for the rest of it, even though I am not old. I'm so young. Oh, no. Why can we do Dark Side of the 80s? Like, do that one first. Like, what even happened in the 80s? I don't know. I wasn't alive because I'm so young. Anyway. And we also have Dark Side of the Ring, which is still going. I have been enjoying these past few episodes. Obviously, I loved the episode on Abdullah the Butcher. As a Bruiser Brody fan, I obviously am a big fan of Abdullah. I will say I wasn't aware of the darker aspects of his later career and how he, you know, had to basically retire because from cutting himself and others for so long, he had like given himself this very rare strain of hepatitis C that he passed to another wrestler, and that ruined that wrestler's chances of getting into WWE. I had no idea about any of that drama. So really good episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I think the best ones are when you actually learn something new, because a lot of them are just kind of like, yeah, I knew the junkyard dog got addicted to drugs. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's how that story goes. So that's your watch list, and we will be right back with Punky Johnson.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
So today, we have Punky Johnson here, who is a SAG member, because you know her from a lot of things you've probably watched that you love. That, again, we will not be mentioning.
Can't say it.
But can't say it. Can't, and we don't need to say it. Like your name is in the streets. They know. They know. All I need to say is Punky. You know what's up. Okay, but today we are talking about something I'm so, so excited about. And that's your new podcast, Love Thang.
Yes!
Welcome to TV Club. Thank you for joining me. I am so excited about this podcast. It is with Kevin Hart's production company. Yes. In Sirius, I believe, and it is you and a friend giving people the relationship advice they need.
I don't know if they need it, but let they me get tell it.
They need it. They need it. It's a mess out here in the streets right now. Like, how did you come up with this idea? Were you seeing that everyone is struggling?
No, I was struggling. It's a way for me to flush out what I got going on. It's, you know, well, at the end of the day, first of all, number one, I talk too much. Let's just put it to you like that. That's what a podcast is. It's all about talking, communicating, being verbal. That's what it's about. I talk too much. I talk too fast. So my team was like, yeah, you're going to need a podcast because you obviously got a lot to say. Then yeah. After that, it was just a basis of what it's going to be about. And most of my comedy is about my love life. So I'm like, let's make it all about love lives. So we did that. And the reason why is that is because I was in a relationship for 20 years, a marriage for 7 years. And I feel like it failed so miserably that I have all the tools you need to do the opposite of what I did.
Yeah. I want to ask you about some, I thought we could go through some of the dating advice that has been going viral recently. There's been a lot of drama and I want your take on it because I think the kids need help out here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you saw last week, someone, a guy presumably, asked a girl out. They start texting and he says, well, it's really hot out. Maybe we can grab some ice cream. And she says, oh, that's the bare minimum. Ice cream on a first date? You don't deserve me, baby. No, we don't need to talk anymore. The person just is like, okay, that's fine. We're done here.
Man, listen, we in a time where nobody thinks of anything nice and just cute and simple no more. Everybody just want to go big and outdo the other person. Like an ice cream date sounds fun. You know what I'm saying?
First of all,
who gonna actually go on an ice cream date? This gotta be a different type of dude.
Right. Like,
I ain't never been on no ice cream date.
I've been on some, but they've never just been. I always know it's like, oh, we're gonna get ice cream. We'll walk around, maybe go to a farmer's market. You know, but I'm never just like, oh, you must be broke. Like, oh, like, and people, when I said I was okay with the ice cream date, Twitter came for me. They said, I'm a low value woman. My standards are on the floor. I accept the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's like, why does that have to all align with financials?
Right. And ice cream can be expensive. Okay.
But it's also, he ain't just say that. He was like, this is where we gonna start.
Yeah, this is where we start. It's hot. Let's grab an ice cream and then do stuff. And so Twitter has been for like at least 5 days debating over this. What should a first date be? Personally, I think a first date should be bare minimum. I think, you know, there's no reason for me to put 2 hours into getting ready for someone I don't know. You know, let's just get a coffee, see if we actually like each other.
I agree.
You agree? Thank you.
Well, I think I think ice cream is the equivalent to a cup of coffee. But instead of getting something hot in this heat, let's go get something cool in this heat.
Yeah.
I just think people you know what? Did it say how old a girl was and the guy?
I believe they were 24 and 26, somewhere around that age.
Well, that goes to show you that, you know, I can't even say it because I think a 38-year-old woman would just as much have said that, depending on value and standards or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I hate today's day and age where it's just like, why does everything have to start so grand?
Right.
What are we going to do besides ice cream? What, I'm going to take you on a goddamn helicopter for the first date?
What the hell are we going to do
for the second date?
See, yeah. And then people were like, oh, well, look at this. People were like giving examples of like extravagant first dates. And someone was like, oh, look at this thread. This guy said that he like flew this girl out to Colombia for their first date. He had never even met her before, but he bought her a plane ticket. And then it came out that he murdered her like 7 months later.
Before you said that, I was thinking, yeah, that's called stupid first dates.
See? See, I'm like, that's what happens. These men who spend a ton of money on you, and then they're like, oh, well, I bought you. Like, I get to have sex with you. I get to do this. And that's how you end up. See, they kill you. They're crazy. If a man is spending, like, taking you to Nobu and helicopter rides on the first date, that's a red flag, honestly, for me.
And honestly, she should have went on an ice cream date. She could have showed him what that tongue do. Let me lick this cone, show you what that tongue do.
Get a little sexy with it. See,
let me lick this cone and show you what the tongue do.
See, and so I do want to ask some, look, my dating life is a mess too. I could use your guidance, your brilliance here. And this ice cream catastrophe, it brought up some triggering memories for me. I dated a guy who, like, I got sick one time. I had a sore throat. He was like, is there anything I can bring you? Anything you need, girl? And I was like, oh my gosh, he must really care about me. Like, men don't do that. Like, you know, like Newt Gingrich, his wife got cancer and he was like, bye, bitch, I'm out. Like, that's not my problem. So I had a little sore throat and this man is like, can I get you something? And I played it sexy. I was like, all I want is some vanilla ice cream, you know, because I was thinking, let me show you what my tongue do with it. You know, just vanilla ice cream, sexy. You know, I wanted to be like, I want 5 bags of Cheetos and some Dr. Pepper, but I played it sexy. And what he said to me, and this was a grown man, a 40-year-old man with a job. What he said to me was, I don't have ice cream money.
Well, in that case, my thought is going immediately to, well, how the hell you was going to get me some Theraflu?
Because right? Why did you ask?
How was you going to get me? Look, because when I'm sick, I need Theraflu. I need Sprite. I need orange juice. I need Elka Rub. I need Vicks. I mean, that's going to cost you about a good $37.
So if $3.75,
that's a big problem.
Right? I'm not asking for Jenny's. I'm not asking for expensive ice cream. I'm asking, you could just get the CVS store brand vanilla. I don't care. But he said, I don't have ice cream money. And I was immediately like, we need to end this relationship. You don't care about me. We are done here. And my friends were like, that's harsh. No, like, maybe he was having money issues. No. Okay, I've had ice cream money since I was 12 years old. Like, it's not expensive.
Nah, that ain't nothing but, man, I could go through my couch right now and find money for the ice cream.
Right.
For ice cream cone.
I'm not worth moving a couch cushion for an ice cream cone, sir.
I promise you I got about $3.75 in this sofa.
Punky, what would you have done? Would you end things? I mean, do you work through?
I think I would have ended it just based off the simple fact that you're a grown man, you're in your 40s. Because what are we doing at this point? You know, when I was married, my wife did something very particular to me one day, and it made me so mad. I was at a party on this side of town. She was at a party on that side of town, and she hit me up, and she was like, can you Uber me home? I said, why? She said, because I don't have money for Uber. So in my mind, you went somewhere knowing you ain't have the money to get back. And what grown woman does that?
Okay, I've done that a few times.
What? Well, how old were you, Dad?
I mean, I'm 32, and I did that literally last week. I went to a party, and I was like, you know what? I'll meet somebody who will give me a ride home. I can, like, find somebody to hop in a car with.
But if you wanted to, you could have Ubered.
Yes, it was like one of those, like, if I need to, I can dip into the savings and get an Uber. But, like, it was one of those.
There was no savings. She had none of that. I'm just like, we're not... You know, I just think sometimes when a relationship is, I hate the fact that finances can play a big part in it, but unfortunately it does, because the person that has the most money is probably doing the most, and that could get a lot stressful, because that means that person can't fail. Because if this person failed, they have no room to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If that person make a mistake, then it's over for everybody. So I think it's very... I see why famous people date famous people. I see why people that have money date people who have money. I just understand it. Because it can get a little hectic when you not rich and maybe you're making like $100,000, which once you cut the taxes, is really like $60,000. You might as well work at a grocery store. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because once they cut the taxes at the grocery store, you still probably at 55.
Yeah, and at least that way you qualify for like Medi-Cal and stuff. I mean, you're getting a good tax bracket versus the $100,000, where now you are kind of screwed over.
And you don't qualify for first-time home buyers.
Yep, don't get first-time home buyers. Like, it's kind of a mess, actually, if you hit that $100,000. Because it's not enough.
It's really weird to just be in that type of predicament with somebody who makes half that you make. And it's a complicated financial situation. And I'm sorry to take it this far with some ice cream.
But yeah, if it's ice cream, I mean, that's just the start. If you tell me you don't have ice cream money for me down the road, who knows where that goes? That's like, I don't have toilet paper money for you. I keep my own in my room. Like, that's not a basis for a good relationship.
Yeah. And if you can't take care of me when I'm down, you can't take care of me when I'm up. We out.
When I'm up. So, yeah. So thank you for saying I was right to leave that broke bump.
Did you break up with him like the day of or a couple days after?
A couple days after, I like gave it some time and I was just like via text, like, I just don't think this is really going to work, blah, blah, blah. And then we had gone to like the movies, I think the weekend before, and like bought separate tickets because he was truly like, I don't have enough to buy your ticket. But then he did have enough to like get a popcorn that he was like, let's split. And the day I ended it, he sent me a Venmo request for half the cost of a medium popcorn from the movies.
Who are these guys that's doing that? Like, is this out of petty or bitterness?
Right.
Because I want to know. Because Listen, I'm gay, but I have such an old school, traditional mentality of the way I operate in relationships. Like we all, you know, a lot of people don't do this no more, but I'm strictly gender roles. I take care of things. I'm the more dominant one. I take out the trash, I mow the lawn, I pay the bills, I make sure things. Chivalry is all up over here.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be asking my lady for no money. I'm not. And if I ain't got it, I'm going to go hustle and get it. It's not about to be,
right? It's not about to be, oh, well, I didn't have the full $7 to cover that popcorn, so let me get this back. And I'd like that you brought up that it can be difficult to date someone who is in a different, you know, financial bracket, who's doing differently, because I think that's another big just celebrity dating issue we've seen come up with Halle Bailey and DDG. Her failed, this is not my words, but what they call him on all the, you know, the Shade Room, her failed rapper boyfriend who is Twitch famous, put out a new song that was like, you know, girl, I get insecure seeing you on set with another man. And basically just described what acting is. Like, he was like, I get mad seeing you hold hands with him on the set of The Little Mermaid. And it's like, well, are you aware of the story and that she's playing a character? You know.
Yes. So, okay, that I'm split with that too, because that what he did is kind of in form of being a true artist, just describing how you feel, using your emotions, being vulnerable, because I'm pretty sure he does feel like that, because even in acting, it could get a little like, that kiss meant something.
Like, and like, and they, and they were holding hands on the red carpet, like were. Outside, and people were making whole TikToks being like, she needs to leave DDG for this guy.
Yes. So I think they are cute together.
Yes, they are really cute.
I'm not gonna lie. But also on the other side of, I think it's getting really ridiculous with the lack of privacy people have in their relationships.
Yeah.
You know, like my girl tells me all the time, my girl, like the current woman I'm seeing right now, she's always saying like these little slide remarks of, I ain't never gonna post nobody if they don't post me. And I'm like, are you talking to me? Are you speaking directly to me?
It seems like that's a message.
You're talking out loud. I feel like you're trying to tell me something. Because I feel like... I don't need you posting me on nothing. Because I don't care.
I don't care.
First of all, don't post me, number one.
Yeah, don't post me. I don't need that. Like, if you post me, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get haters. You're going to get people bothering you because they don't like some joke I told 5 years ago, okay? It's just going to be a mess.
So she trying to give me a message that I don't post her. I'm like, girl, you was in my story a couple times. You don't need to be on the main page.
Do they want the main and the tag? Is it like not just the main part, but you got to tag me? I want the Woman Crush Wednesday. Like, I'm trying to...
You know, it's just all about the thing of who's ever into the social media. You know, like, I'm not really into the subliminals. I'll be like, I don't care. Yeah. So it's just like, she's very involved with social media. She's, you know, I got my thong on and I'm hot and these niggas is thirsty and all this stuff. And I'm not like that. I don't even post my job stuff. People got to force me to post it. Like, Punky, you're in contract. You have to post this. I'm like, dang.
They'd be like, Ashley, please, you've got to promote this podcast, this show. Like, could you please make a post? And I'm just like, I'll do like those dump, like what they do now, the kids like to call them photo dumps, where I'm just like, here's a bunch of people I've been hanging out with. And it's like, you connect the dots. Like,
I'm getting better at posting. Like, I started posting for real, like Thursday.
Yeah. And I mean, in your longer relationship, was that an issue? Was it, you know, as you were like getting bigger and I mean, your 20-year relationship and marriage, was it like, well, I already know you from before all the fame hit? Or was it like, well, why are you like famous now? You're not opposed to me.
Well, so I started doing something with my life after the divorce. So that goes to show you, people, let go of that toxic stuff. Things start happening and turning out real good for you once you let go of that dead weight.
I love that.
Forget them kids. Forget them dogs. Forget them in-laws. Listen, if it ain't sitting right in your soul when you go to sleep at night, you losing rest? Absolutely not. Go get out of
it. Yes.
Mm-mm. Forget that childhood. Forget that first love. I don't care. It got down to the point I couldn't sleep at night. I'm crying to myself to sleep because I know I'm not supposed to be here. But I stayed anyway. No, get out of it. Don't do it, people. Yeah. Don't do it. But her and I, we were high school sweethearts.
Oh.
So before I even thought about, like, really, because I was just messing around doing comedy. I was serious about it, but I didn't think it would go past the stage, if you want me to be honest with you. So we would post stuff together. I would do a lot of jokes like I had a viral video because I was talking about a lot of gay stuff and what it was like being with a woman in a relationship. So I showed her a lot.
Yeah.
But as far as like anything past that, because I was trying to make like a reality series with me and her, and I'm just happy we didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. TV, I say.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
So what made you want to do this podcast? Is it to help all these kids, to make them realize, like, you know, I love that you got divorced later. I also had a high school sweetheart that I almost married when I was like, he proposed when I was 19. We almost got married at like 22. And it was the same thing. I was just like, this, something isn't right about this. Like, I'm a different person. I've changed. I've grown. Mm-hmm. And like stepping out into that new world of being single after like being with one person for so long, I was just like, what is happening out here? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and then you get buck wild. Because when we separated, before I got into this other relationship, I was single for like 2 years, just out here popping it everywhere.
Yeah.
I was in every state, just acting a plum fool.
Were you on the dating apps? Were you on the apps?
No, dating apps. No dating apps. I was just meeting people. And I was always scared to do date naps because I'm like, that could always come back on you.
Yes.
People screenshot. Never know what's going on with date naps.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of date naps, so I don't do them.
Yeah. I mean, I get people who message me and they're like, oh my God, I recognize you from this. I'm such a fan. Da, da, da. And I'm just like, this is too creepy. Like, I don't like to go out with people. Like, one person messaged me. They're like, I've listened to every single episode of your podcast. I feel like I know you and I'm ready to go out. And I was like, you should never say this to someone.
No, and like, stop listening.
Yeah, I don't.
Keep the subscription and the downloads, but don't put your ears to the headphones.
Right, like, just, you don't need to say to me, and now you're probably listening and hearing this, that's why I didn't reply to your message. But I was just like, that's too much. Like, I don't need, like, where's the fun in getting to know each other if you're like, I already have listened to every single thing, I've seen every single thing about you. Like, no, that, and also, I feel like there's that, you know, what you present as a comic on social media channels to sell tickets and to have a brand is very different from like who you are as a person. You know, I get on stage, I tell jokes about how dating is awful and all the awful people I've dated, but I'm in a steady, wonderful relationship right now. You know, it's like,
also,
both sides.
So ice cream is gone and you.
Oh, ice cream's gone. Ice cream is gone. Although the person I'm in a relationship with now, our first date was ice cream. So Twitter told me, you know, he's a bum. I'm a low value woman. I shouldn't have accepted this. Also, on that first date, I did pay for my own ice cream. I did. But that was on me, because when I walked up to the ice cream place, he was sitting outside playing an electric bass, like with no amp, just like playing it outside. And I just thought that was so weird. I was like, I'm not going to like this guy. I was like, I'm going to buy my own ice cream. I don't want any attachments here. I'm just going to, I went in after him. I didn't even talk to him. I just went in myself, got my ice cream, went back out and sat with him and was like, oh, don't worry. Like, this will be quick probably.
And that, you know what? I want to let everybody know what you said is so true, because everything you think is going to be like weird and no, turns out to be something so cool.
So cool and wonderful. And yes. Like now it's been like 7 months and, you know, he does my dishes and cooks me like lunch and dinner every day. And I'm like, Okay, maybe it was worth buying my own ice cream for that one date.
Well, you should go and talk to Twitter about that. How's that for low value?
Oh, no.
Bitches?
Oh, no. Twitter will, if I even mention that I pay for that ice cream myself, Twitter will come for me. They'll be like, see, I knew it. You broke, bitch. Like,
but that's the thing. Like, people, you know what? I just think it's all about what people determine as valuable. You know, if you're one of those types of females or men that the value to you is money, then if y'all doing something and it has no value on a dollar, then of course it's just gonna be low value, low standard, and
low
this
standard.
Is cheap,
yeah.
Like that. But if you have other things that you value, like, I value a good woman that can, if you in the house and you cooking and you keep the house clean, I ain't saying like squeaky clean, because we all have our trifling moments.
Yeah, you know.
But if your house clean, you keep it together, I value that more than
I value that every time. Yeah, he comes over, he takes my trash out every single time. Like, I value that because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I value a good warm woman, a good loyal woman. I value a family woman.
Yeah.
You know, these things, they have no financial face value to it.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to figure that out at a 10 course meal first date where you're spending tons of money. Like, that's how the effort someone puts in, you see over time.
And your interest becomes of something else. Like, oh, you doing this? Okay, great. Well, let me, even if they're not on your level, like, let me increase, you know, my standards, since you done took me on a helicopter ride on this 10 course meal when you probably yourself ain't even worth all of that shit.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So exactly.
It's just all this dating stuff is weird. I'm so happy to be off the streets. I can't be outside.
It's bad out here. I'm going to give one more dating story from my life that I could use your advice on. And then we're going to talk about, you know, your podcast. We're going to talk about how the strike's been impacting you. But this one is one of the, I tell my friends this story and they're shocked by it. They are just like, Ashley, no, like how, what? But I matched with someone, we were talking, we texted for like 2 weeks. You know, I like to really make sure someone's not a creep. We meet up at a bar, have a good time. He was an opera singer. There was like one red flag. He said that he lived in a studio apartment with his mom. But you know what? Times are tough. So I was just like... okay, you know, good on you. You take care of your mom. I'm going to look at the positive there. And okay, but obviously after this date, we're going back to my place because we can't go to your place. And we go back to my place. We start kissing, you know, having a good time. And he stops and is like, hey, can I ask you a question? I want to see if you're cool with one of my kinks. And I'm like, that's a lot for a first date, but okay.
Okay.
I was like, sure, this must be an important kink for you. And he says that he wants to take one of my frying pans, heat it up on the stove, and come in it. And that's his kink. He likes to come over a hot stove into a pan. He's like telling me all the logistics. He's like, it has to be cast iron, first of all. If you have a step stool, that's preferable, but I can stand on a chair. But, you know, the big part of it is feeling the heat on my balls and stuff. And that's what I'm into. Would you be cool with that? And I, of course, am just like, no. I was like, absolutely not. The one cast iron like pan I have is from my grandmother, and I'm not, that's well seasoned from just, you know, months, years of use. I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I'm making jokes. I'm just like, wait, how is this your kink? And you live in a studio with your mother. How do you find that out about yourself? Like, are you just waiting for her to leave the house? Are you coming in your mom's pans? And then he's just like, yo, I don't think we're going to work. Like, he rejected me because I wasn't down with him wanting to come in my frying pan.
Okay, listen. All right. This is how I feel about that. Now, let me take my time and process all of this.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Correctly, right? So that's a lot for the first date, number one. I do understand that people have one night stands. I do understand that people get into these crazy deep talks on first dates. I get that. But seeming that that is one thing that is not the most normal thing, I think that could wait it.
Right.
Because I think that can scare anybody away. It's like,
let's
get to know each other first. These are my pots.
Yeah. Let me cook you a meal. Yeah, I cook in them. Let me cook a meal for you. Let's get to know each other. How many people are saying yes to this, though, on a first date that he was like, you know what? I don't need to continue on.
Obviously, nobody. He's in a studio apartment with his mom. She probably the only one saying yes. That is the true definition of unconditional love. She'd probably be like, it's time to come in your pot, Brian.
Like,
come in your pot.
I was just praying that it's one of those studios where they have like sheets hanging or dividers or something. But like, he's like, oh, I stand on a wooden chair, get right. Like, your mom is gonna know. Like, what is the...
You know, I think in certain instances, like, he will find a one for him that likes that.
Exactly.
But also, it's like, I'm gonna say this, right? So I watch this show called Grey's Anatomy. I watch it all the time.
I love Grey's Anatomy. I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, me too. I know the episodes in and out.
Yes.
And they have this one episode where this guy who loves to stick his penis in the beehive.
Yes.
And that's one of his kinks.
That's his kink. I remember so this.
He's in the hospital. He gets his penis stung by a bee. The doctors are like, why do you do this? Why do you do this? His wife comes in and he's unconscious. Of course, he's healing. And the doctors are asking the wife, like, are you okay with being with him? Like, why does he do that? He sticks his penis in beehives.
In beehives.
And the wife is like, yes, but he does so many other great things. He takes care of me. He's loyal to me. He's a great husband. He's a great father. Like, it's that one thing that
it's
he does.
It's the one thing. Maybe that could have been my one person. He would have taken care of me, paid my rent, my bills. And his one thing is that he would have been coming in my cast iron frying pan.
And on that, and in that, now it goes into tolerance. How much can you tolerate? What is the scale of tolerance and you coming in my pot to you just having all these other good qualities about you? Where does the scale fall?
Is that an automatic no for you? For you, come in the frying pan, no, leave my house.
Well, you know what? I hope no one minds me saying this, but I boil my penises in pots.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
You can get, now, if that's the case, you can get him his own special cummy iron pot.
That's kind of what I thought. If he came with his own pot, I wouldn't have minded. If he had his own tools, I would have been like, fine. It was the insistence on ruining my pottery, my pots.
Understand.
On the first date. But if he had been like, hold up a second, let me pull out this like little travel cast iron, I would have been like, okay, this is thoughtful. You know? So I hope he hears this advice and he like fixes his game a little bit.
You know what? I also think about how he feels, how he has this thing who probably no one thinks is normal. But he's probably like, you know what? Let me just get it out and get it over with. I don't want you to think I'm a fraud in the next 6 months if I bust this out on you.
Yeah, and we're deep in it. I've met your friends and your family. And now all of a sudden you have to come to terms with the fact that I like to come in a frying pan.
So, yeah. So I try to think about it on his level, too, because it's not a normal thing for people, but it is normal to him.
And as far as it goes, it's fairly harmless. Like, it's not like those weirdos who like to come in people's food. It's, you know, at least...
There you go.
Yeah, you're cleaning the pot after, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I would tell you, you missed out on a good one, but he lives with his mother in a studio apartment, so I can't see that.
So, again, I feel like I dodged another bullet there, but it's so hard out in these streets that even the people...
It is hard out in these streets.
Yeah.
I'm not judging him for living with his mom, but think about the inconvenience that would have caused.
The inconvenience, but it's like, it's so hard out here. Even the people who live with their mom and are coming in frying pans, like, feel like they can reject people. Like, the fact that I didn't get the chance to be like, this isn't gonna work for me, but he was like, listen up, girly, we're done here. That's what I was like, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay, he sure.
He respects himself enough.
Yeah.
To know when he's not appreciated.
When he's not appreciated. So he was done. So I gotta respect that. People know their worth out here, even if sometimes maybe they need to take a step back and look. That is why you should listen to Love Thang. It is on SiriusXM. You can listen to it on Laugh Out Loud Radio. It's available to SiriusXM subscribers nationwide in their cars, Channel 96. And it's also on the SXM app. Like, you've already changed my life with this advice. So, y'all, listen to this podcast. I know it's going to be hilarious.
Look, y'all, we be having buku fun. We do some acting on the Love Thang podcast. We have different types of segments. We want to keep it light. We don't want to get too deep and too I mean, we do have segments where it's vulnerable and it's serious and it's nice, but we also make sure we have other segments to balance it out so we can keep it light and fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we just trying to mix it up, trying to do a little something different. So y'all give it a listen. Let us know if you like it.
Yes. And you know, it's wonderful you have this podcast, obviously, right now. You know, as comedians who also act with the strike, which obviously we support so much, it has become difficult. You know, we can't be in the shows we love. We can't promote them. But it is wonderful when you can go on tour, when you can do a podcast. How has that been for you? Are you, you know, prepping dates? Are you, you know, getting out there on the picket lines?
The crazy thing is I haven't been able to really be at the picket lines because I'm constantly on a go right now. I am out of New York City from Tuesday to Friday. I'm only here on a Monday.
Yeah.
And then on a Monday we do the podcast, but I'm on tour. Whoever listening, y'all hit my bios up on everything. P-U-N-K-I-E Johnson on everything. Hit my bios. And I'm in every city. We're going to Indiana this weekend. We're going to Detroit next weekend. Canada, California, Texas, we out here.
Are you going to be at Montreal?
No. We're going to Toronto, actually. Ah. So the weekend that everyone's going to be in Montreal, I'm going to be in Detroit.
Okay. I love Detroit. That's where my family's from. Yes. So I know I got Detroit listeners. Go get your tickets.
Yeah.
You know,
Detroit, come through because I'm working on my special. It's my first special. Yes. I ain't going to lie. I'm kind of frustrated because it's something that I'm missing and I just can't find it. But the only thing I can do is keep coming out and keep allowing the people to help me. The people are helping me.
They let that's
me
know how you
funny,
find, yeah.
not funny. They help me find the groove, you know. So
that's how you find those bits. I mean, I had just recorded my first album last month. And I had jokes on there that I had written like 5 years ago that I was just like, it's just not ready. It's not ready. And you just keep performing it in front of people until you're like, oh, my, I got it. You know, right. Or I was like, I can't find the bit to like connect this joke and this joke. And then a year ago, I happened to date a flat earther. Maybe the problem is I have horrible taste in who I choose to date. Maybe.
Yo, you have the best. You need a podcast called My Dating Stories.
Honestly.
You have dating stories forever. I mean, the stuff, I mean, you're not making this up. I can tell.
No, it's very real. And I did. Yes, I dated a flat earther for a good 6 months, but he was very hot. And I think that like that's what I need people to understand is that he was a very attractive person. But, you know, I got a lot of jokes from him. He also didn't believe Canada was real. He didn't believe that global warming was real. He didn't believe in the California water crisis because he said the ocean is right there. And that's on kind of a good point. I was like, maybe we should get the governor on the phone.
So you was dating a conspiracy theorist, he sounded conspiric. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some like, stuff he was like, oh, why? And then some stuff he was like, nah.
Yeah, he straight up was just like, Canada's a government psyop campaign. Everyone is a reptilian. Like, truly.
So he was conspirish.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you
he know.
He got an old word.
Yeah, but it was like in a cutish kind of way. But like finding that relationship helped me find like the jokes to connect some other dating things. And it's like, you know, the life experiences build. So I love that you're working on a special. Like I'm telling you, as a SAG person who also does stand-up is like what we have to rely on right now. Like buy tickets to our shows. We are not out here like, you know, getting our acting paychecks. So that is one way you can help. Where else can people follow you?
Follow me at Punky Johnson on all platforms, P-U-N-K-I-E, everybody. And tune into the Love Thang podcast. They got one segment that I love that everyone keeps hitting me up in my DMs about that I have to just keep bringing back. It's called Thatcher's Thoughts. It's where women that sleep with multiple men hit me up and they give me all of their Thatcher stories. I will never reveal to people who they are.
But oh my gosh.
All of my lady pimps who got multiple men and they got the men wrapped around their finger.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
The things that they do is one
I want to hear stories, all about this.
One of the last stories I got, this chick DM'd me. She was like, I got a story for you. I'm like, ooh, give it to me. She said, yeah, girl. I let the maintenance man smash on my, not the coffee table, on her dining room table. I said, what? You hit the maintenance man? She said, yeah, girl. He was looking good that day. And I just got it. She's like, it was like a movie. I just bent over and took it from the maintenance man. I was like, who comes?
Oh, my gosh. Like,
she said it was so good and it was so hot. And I just felt like being filthy that day. And he was just there. I'm like, what? How does like they got men out there that just be minding their business.
Minding their business and getting lucky. Like, I mean, I guess I have a friend who slept with her DoorDash delivery person one time. So
ooh, how hot is that?
Right? And I'm just like, I mean, I've had times where I'm like, okay, I'm ordering a bunch of margaritas and some tacos. And if the person who delivered it was fine, I'd be like, you want to stay? But it's never happened for me. I've never been that lucky. So I'm like, how are you scouting that out? Are you like looking at the thing, like little, when they assign the driver?
I can't lie. It sounds so hot. You know, like every story is like that, that I sit up there and I'd be like, man, if I was a heterosexual feminine woman, I would probably do stuff like that.
Right. I would I'd be kind of interested in like trying to tempt the maintenance man. I am. Oh, my. I love this. It I love those kind so of stories. Fun. Like, women should be thought celebrated. And if you have some stories, you need to hit Punky up. DM with those stories.
Please. Yo, if you're single, you do whatever you want. Forget what everybody's talking about. You pop it how you want to pop it. It's your
exactly.
body. Go handle it. Go handle it.
Exactly. Like, that's, you know, women get a lot of shit for it. People want to tell us how, you know, you got too many bodies, blah, blah, blah. Men won't respect you. Does not matter. These men are out here having sex with anything and everything, okay?
And giving women... VB.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's terrifying. Okay.
BV, whatever I was talking about.
Yeah. These men are coming in beehives and like frying pans
pots.
And then they're, yeah, pots, and then they're coming home to you. And so, no, go do your business and have a good time. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for joining me. And also, listeners, you know, as I said, we are both in the guilds. We are both like striking. So please donate to Hollywood Crew Members in Need at the Entertainment Community Fund. If you want to support us, watch the shows still that we can't talk about. But you know how to Google somebody's name and look at IMDb and see what shows you might want to watch to support them. You know, we still want those viewing numbers. But please donate to help those of us who, you know, aren't working, especially the crew members, makeup artists. All those people are able to be helped from this fund. So as you know, every week we're asking you to donate. Keep supporting all of us on strike. So thank you so, so much. Punky, is there anything else?
Yo, man, I just appreciate the audience. I appreciate the listeners. I appreciate it takes one fan. Even if I get one fan out of this, I appreciate you. And I appreciate your platform for me to be here. So thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, thank you. This was so fun. You have really helped my dating life right now. And I think a lot of listeners out there are going to be helped with this. So thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
TVI Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TVI Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Scott Sani, executive produced by Amelia Chapello, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TVI Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.